ahead and get started. Okay. So I asked you to ask me questions when you registered, and I have several of them here that I'm going to go through. I actually have a lot of them that I'm going to go through, and I am going to I'll then take your questions. So type your questions into the questions box, okay? This is on anything to do with small business marketing, publicity, social media. I can't guarantee that I'm going to know all the answers, but I'm going to try my best. So here we go. My co-author and I have just published a book about boomerang kids. We're having a hard time reaching our target audience, the families, particularly the moms of these young adults who have returned home to live on the proverbial couch. Are interviews worth the time to set up? Is it proper to form Is it proper form to piggyback on other events to promote your book, like a tournament where you know your audience will be? How do you ask for that? How do you ask for endorsements? Okay, let's take the event and put that aside for a while. What I would recommend you do is the best research tool on the planet is Google. Go on to Google and Google boomerang kids and put it in quotes or put it in brackets and see what comes up. I'm guessing that there are a lot of bloggers out there that are blogging on the topic of boomerang kids. I would also look for boomerang kids discussion groups, and I would just see what Google brings up. It's going to probably bring up a lot of blogs that women read. And I agree with you that your target market is the moms. Your target market is not the families. That's too hard to pin down. So I would also try Facebook groups. Go to Facebook and search for groups under Boomerang Kids, or even I'd search for families, healthy families. Maybe that might be a good one, and see what you find. I would also search for Boomerang Kids discussion forums and Boomerang Kids online discussion groups. Then you can see what comes up. Okay, so that's my suggestion on how to do that. How do you ask for endorsements? I think you mean, how do you ask for reviews for your book? That's a whole separate question. The way you do that is you research book reviewers, and these would include Amazon book reviewers. If you go on and just do a search for Amazon book reviewers, and you'll come to the book review page on Amazon. Amazon has hundreds and hundreds of book reviewers, and you can go right down the list. There's a temptation to pitch the top 10 or the top 20 book reviewers on Amazon. You can do that, but remember that everybody is pitching them. Everybody is. So you don't want to necessarily do that. I'd go further down, call up their profiles. And here's another great idea. I would go look for books that are similar to yours on Amazon and find out who has reviewed those books. And those reviewers would be reviewers who are in a good position to also review yours. Okay, we have another question about book publicity. I have yet to promote a picture book I put together because of other urgent responsibilities. Life happens. How can I, with limited time and money, get this book generating money so that I can juggle other responsibilities to have more time to write? Okay, for all of you authors on the line, you're not going to want to hear this. A common question I get from authors is, okay, I can't pinpoint who this is, so I'm going to just continue. A lot of authors say, how long do I have to market my books for? How long do I have to try to get publicity? And my answer is, only for as long as you want to sell your books. And a lot of people don't want to hear that. They think that all they need to do is to go out and get publicity during a real short window, right before and after they launch, and then they're pretty much done, and then they can go off and write their second book. And I think that's a big mistake. You need to continue your book marketing. So I'm going to make a suggestion for something that might help all of you authors on the line if you don't know about it. It's called the Goodreads Author Marketing Program. Goodreads is the world's largest book review and book recommendation site in the world, and it's got many billions of people over there. And the purpose of Goodreads is to recommend books to each other. You can create a digital bookshelf, and you can put books that you're reading on your bookshelf. You can check out other people's books that they're reading. And you want to join book groups on Goodreads. Groups are going to be in the upper right-hand corner. And share information about your topic. Answer questions. You're not only over there to sell your books. You're there to connect with people in your target market. Okay? So go on over to Goodreads or just do a Google search for Goodreads Author Marketing Program. There are about 9 different ways that Goodreads lets you promote your book. And not all the ideas are going to work for you, but I would start there and see what happens. Continue to market your book before you go on to write the second one. That's my advice. Because if all you're doing is writing and you're doing just a little bit of publicity and a little bit of marketing in a really small window, you are not going to get the traction that you need. Okay. I'm looking for best practices in pitching an idea to TV shows to get a client on as a guest. If you're on the line and you ask this question, I need a little bit more information from you. But let me give you a couple of best practices for pitching people to get onto TV shows. Piggyback off breaking news events, and I'll give you a great one. And if you read my newsletter, you've seen me write about this. I think the whole Ashley Madison hacking story was wonderful to piggyback off of. So if you are a computer expert, if you're an expert in internet security, if you're a marriage counselor, that would have been a wonderful story to piggyback off of, because it was in the news, about a month and a half ago, and it's still in the news. That story has got legs, and we're going to continue to hear about it, because all the people who are on Ashley Madison, their contact information is all over the internet. Here's another great way. Pick up a copy of USA Today or go online and check out USA Today and see if there are any stories in USA Today that you can tie your client into for breaking news events. And if you do that and you call the TV station to pitch, you can tell them there was a story in USA Today this morning on the topic of blank, and my client is the local angle to this breaking news event. She is a local therapist in Milwaukee, and she has some great tips for people who may have found their spouses or their significant others on the Ashley, on some of these databases that's what I would do. Anytime you can piggyback. Also, when you're pitching, if you can get some national statistics that tie into the topic of your pitch, that would be great. Okay, other questions? When you pitch a lifestyle editor or a TV radio producer, what is an appropriate follow-up if I do not hear back? Assuming I should contact her, how long should I wait? Thank you. Okay? I would wait a couple of days to give her a chance to respond. And if she doesn't respond, I'm assuming you're pitching via email, you can send her a follow-up pitch. But there's a better way to do it. I strongly recommend that before you pitch anybody, you do your research and you find out where they are on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter is probably the best of those three social media sites. And you start following them on Twitter. And you are going to find out so much information about them that you never knew before, because you're going to be paying attention to their Twitter feed and the things that they are following, okay, and the things that they're sharing. And you can respond to them on Twitter. You can retweet their tweets. And they're going to know that you retweeted them because it's going to show up in the mentions, okay? And you can even contact them via Twitter and ask them, if you haven't pitched them yet, how they want to be pitched. Do they want to be pitched on Twitter? Some journalists don't want to be pitched on Twitter. Others don't mind. So if you're not sure, just ask them on the social media site that you're following them on. And if you've already pitched, I'd say leave maybe for a couple days and follow up. And if you don't hear anything, maybe follow up on their Twitter feed. And if you don't hear anything else, I would drop it. You don't want to be a pest. Okay? All right. Some more questions. What is the best type of business to consider for a 55-year-old who's reinventing herself and seeking income that can be made without re-entering the traditional work world, as she hasn't worked outside the home and the farm in a decade? Wow, that's a tough question. I don't know where your expertise lies. I don't know what you know about topics that would be able to help other people who are searching for that information. So I'm going to throw out an idea. If I were in your shoes, what I would do is to try to pinpoint my area of expertise, okay? Even if you haven't worked outside the home and you haven't worked in corporate and you haven't had your own business, you're good at something, okay? It could be cooking. It might be Southern cooking. It might be raising a family. It might be working on a farm, okay? You said you lived on a farm. I would write short ebooks, and I would sell them on Amazon. And by short, I mean between 30 and 50 pages, really short, and you want to sell them very inexpensively. The sweet spot on Amazon is about $2.99. Okay, a lot of people sell them for far less than that, and if that works for them, that's fine. So you can adjust the price as you go along. That's what I would do. You don't even have to leave the house. And I can tell you that there is a ton of information about how to create ebooks. There's a lot of stuff that's free online, and how to sell online as well. Okay. Kay asks, how important is having a big book launch event for my newly published books? I know, Kay, that you have a big following already because of your business. I believe you own a spa, if I'm not mistaken, and you already have a place where you can have your book launch event for you. I wouldn't pass up the opportunity to have a book launch event, because you can do it at your spa, and you can also do it send postcards and emails to your whole customer base. And if they maybe don't even care about your book, but they know that there's a cool event that's happening at your business, they're going to want to come if they already know, like, and trust you, and if they're already a fan. So I wouldn't pass up the opportunity to do it. Other authors, I wouldn't put this in the category of the top three or four things that you need to do when you're launching a book. You don't have to have a live event. If you can possibly do one, that's great. But these events are sometimes really hard to pull off. You have to have it. You have to have a really clever one. You have to have already a pretty big platform that you can market this to. Okay, so that's my advice for you. Okay, our press release is a thing of the past. There's so much noise about what a waste of time they are. What are your thoughts on press releases? Okay, here's the deal with press releases. In the old days, press releases were a main way that we got publicity for our business with traditional media. We would write a press release and we would send it off to them and we would hope they read it. And if they, this was like 20 years ago before the internet even came into being. And if they didn't read it, we were up a creek. We couldn't get publicity because we were beholden to traditional media to write about us. And if they didn't write about us, we're pretty much sunk. We had to buy an ad. That's not so today. The big advantage of press releases today is we can reach consumers directly with our press release, as long as it's online. So where do we put our press release? You certainly want to put it at your website. If you have a media kit online, you can put it online in your media kit. You can also distribute your press release through one of the online distribution services. And I will tell you that these services are not cheap. Okay, some of them can be, you're going to pay about $300 or $400 to have a press release distributed. And I am going to actually make a recommendation. I love Dan Janelle's Guaranteed Press Releases service. His last name is spelled Janelle, J-A-N-A-L. I refer a lot of people to him. What he will do is he'll either write your release and distribute it, okay, and that's at the highest level, or he will sit certain, he will take a press release that either you or someone else has written and he will distribute it through PR Newswire. And it's a wonderful way to get high search ranking for your keywords because you're going to have your keywords right in the headline of the press release. Plus, you're going to have your keywords scattered throughout the press release. Okay? And I can see Louis Villalba is one of my clients, and he's online right now. And I helped him write a press release, and he wrote a nonfiction memoir about the paranormal and the afterlife, and the word afterlife is in the title of his book, so afterlife is a keyword, and we sprinkled his keywords throughout the press release so that people who are searching for the afterlife, who don't even know about him, who don't even know about his book, can come directly to the press release, and there is a link within the press release where people can buy the book. And that's the big advantage to press releases. You can reach consumers directly, and you can get great Google search ranking as long as the press the keywords that you're trying to be found for are in those press releases. Okay, that's the big advantage. If you're going to use a press release to try to get a story idea from traditional media, don't do it by sending them the release. You need to send a customized pitch just to that person who works for that media outlet. And your pitch has to be a perfect tie-in with their target market. So you might be pitching three different media outlets. You might be pitching, let's say, a lifestyle magazine. You might be pitching a food editor who works for your local newspaper, and you might be pitching a blogger. Those might be three very different target markets that are a good fit for your story idea. I would simply link to your press release and do a customized email pitch just for them. Okay, and link to the press release. Don't use the press release as the carrot. You need to use the customized pitch as the carrot that gets their attention, and the pitch needs to be really short. No more than about four short paragraphs. That's it. And start the subject line of your pitch with the words story idea colon, and then just a couple of words to catch their attention about your topic. And if you're emailing three different people, you can swap out the subject line and you can make that pitch really different to appeal just to their audience. Another good tip about pitching via email, you want to make sure that you have researched them before you've pitched them. And I'm going to tell you the best way to get their attention. Put in the first paragraph of your pitch that you have read something they've written. Hi, Sharon. 4 weeks ago, you wrote about the topic of boomerang parents in the lifestyle section of the Cleveland Plain Dealer. I thought your audience would, and immediately, okay, that shows her that you know exactly what she writes about, and it's going to get her attention. And then you pitch your tie-in story that your book deals with boomerang parents and how they can live peacefully with their kids who are returning to the nest, and you've got some tips to share with boomerang parents, and then back it up with a statistic on the large number, the large percentage of boomerang parents, and you can quote another source, and that'll get her attention. And she very well may say yes. That's a much better way than taking your press release and putting the whole press release within the email and just sending that same press release off to 75 journalists. They're all getting the same one-size-fits-all press release, and you don't want to do that. You want to customize your pitch. Okay. Let's see here. I'm in the process of writing my novel, which is a contemporary inspirational romance. It will be a part of a series. How do I go about promoting my novel before I publish it on Amazon? Okay. You are going to want to create a platform for yourself online. All of you who are writing books or selling anything, you need an online platform. And what that means is people who are following you primarily on the social media sites, on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, wherever your target market is, Pinterest, Instagram. Not everybody needs to be on Pinterest. Your target market may not be on Pinterest. If you are going after women in your target market, I would highly recommend you be on Pinterest, because 8 out of 10 people on Pinterest are women, and they have their credit card in their hand. They are buyers. So find out the social media sites where your readers are hanging out. Share information about your topic, and you can. I think it's a great idea for authors to share with the people who are following them the process involved in writing their book. Talk about the book you're writing. I'm writing a contemporary inspirational romance novel, and this is what it's about, and these are the characters in my novel. One thing I saw one author do, and I thought this was absolutely brilliant. He was a sci-fi author, and he had a lot of followers on Facebook, and it was sci-fi. And he did a whole series of sci-fi books, and he was running out of names to name his characters. So what he did was he said to the people who were following him on Facebook, if you want me to name one of the characters in my current novel after you, just let me know, and I'll be happy to name it after you. Okay? And what happened was all these people responded, so he now has all these names. And what it did was it really helped build the buzz for his book. Can anybody guess what the big advantage is of having people in your target market, of having characters named after them? What's the big advantage of that? Can anybody guess? If you can think of it, type the answer into the questions, the Q&A box. Any guesses? I don't see anybody guessing. I wonder if maybe I can't see your questions coming in. I can see a Q&A box. Can you guys hear me, first of all? I need to know if you can hear me. Type yes into the questions box. If you can hear me. Okay, good, Alan, yes. Any guesses? I'm not getting anybody to guess why that is. Here's why, okay? If I'm in his target market and he's named a character after me, what am I going to do when the book comes out? Kathleen guessed it. Whoever is named in the book will tell everybody they know about the book. So you're building buzz for your book. You're getting people interested in it before it comes out. That's one way to do it. Some other ways to do it. I just love the process of writing your book with your audience. You can also use the Goodreads author program. That's another way to do it. I would have people ask you questions about the topic, some topics in your book. What are some romance problems they're struggling with, or some frequently asked questions that they want to know about? That you don't want to start getting their interest as soon as the book comes out. You want to get their interest long before the book comes out. Okay, let me see. I'm new to publicity. What's the difference between doing an interview for a print publication and one for broadcast, like TV or a radio station? There are a couple of differences. The main difference is the length of your answers. If you're doing an interview for TV or radio, your answers have to be really short, and you need to create sound bites before you do the interview. TV and radio is really, really fast. The interview is going to be really, really fast. It's going to be fast-paced, and unless you're doing an hour interview on NPR or something, and not many people get to do that. So you want your answers to be really short, and assume that if the person interviewing you wants more information, they're going to come back and ask you to explain. Also, craft your sound bites, and I'll give you an example of what a sound bite is. My friend Barb Bartline, she's an author, and she was also a marriage counselor. She wrote a book called Why Did I Marry You Anyway? And she here's a great example of piggybacking off a breaking news event. I want to guess about a decade ago or so, there was a big story about the runaway bride, a woman who apparently had gotten to the altar or something, and she just turned around and ran away because she was paranoid about getting married, and she changed her mind, and that was a big story in the national news. Barb piggybacked off that and pitched herself to a lot of radio stations to talk about what makes a strong marriage and what marriage is really about. And one of the callers was a call-in person to the radio show said, it's about, you know, romance and this, that, and the other. And her response was, marriage is not about romance. It's really about flannel nightgowns and snore strips. And I thought that was absolutely a brilliant soundbite. And she got interviews on about 30 radio stations, and she sold books as a result of it. So anytime you see a breaking news event that you can tie into and isolate the problem and then offer tips to go along with it. That's one way. Also, here's another big difference between print and broadcast. For print interviews for newspapers and magazines, you never want to give the reporter or the person interviewing you a list of questions to ask you. But you definitely can do that with radio and television. You authors who are going to radio stations to interview at the radio station, or even over the phone, or even via podcast and getting interviews on podcasts is really a great way, because podcasters have very, very loyal audiences. You can offer them a list of questions you want them to ask you during the interview, but don't do it for print, because the print interview, the print people view themselves as journalists with a capital J, and you're going to be insulting them if you tell them what questions to ask you. Radio people and TV people will be happy. And also, do not expect them to read your book. They're not going to read your book. Maybe one out of 99 interviewers will actually read your book, so don't get insulted if they do. Okay. In your newsletter, you mentioned a free tool that lets us put our photo on Times Square or in a museum. What's the name of the tool? Where do I find it? And can you give some examples of how you use it for publicity? I love this tool. And the name of the tool is called PhotoPhonia. P-H-O-T-O, like a photo, Phonia, F-U-N-I-A.com, PhotoPhonia.com. It's free. I'm fairly certain that you don't even need to create an account. I can't remember, but it's all free, and it's all drag and drop. And if you have no techie skills, don't worry about it. It is drop dead easy to use. You can put your photo. You need to have a photo of your a headshot of yourself on your hard drive. You can put your photo on the wall of a museum. You can put it on Times Square on a billboard. You can put it in a book, in a magazine. And here's some ways I've used PhotoPhonia. I have used it for PowerPoint presentations from my webinars. I have used it. There's one where you can put yourself in, there's a two-page magazine spread, and you can put a big photo of yourself in a magazine. If you go onto my Google Plus profile, if you just search for Joan Stewart on Google Plus, I use that as the cover, the big cover, horizontal cover on Google Plus. That's what I used it for. I also think these photos are wonderful to enhance blog posts, and they're great for sharing on social media. So it's a fun, free tool, PhotoPhonia.com. Okay, Kathleen wants to know, can you ask a journalist to give you an idea of what they will be asking? Yes. That's a great way when they're asking you if they can interview you for a story to set up an interview. What you can say, you don't want to say, can you tell me the questions you're going to ask me ahead of time? You don't want to say it like that. A much better way to say it is, can you give me an idea of the angle of the story that you're going to be taking, because I want to make sure I'm prepared for the interview. When you say what angle you're going to be taking, they'll go into a little bit more depth with you, and they'll tell you the angle they're going to take. And then you can say something like, is there something specific that you're going to want to know from me that I can research ahead of time so that I'm prepared for the interview? And they might or might not tell you that. So those are two ways to ask the question. What are your favorite tools for researching journalists? I want to find out as much as I can about them before I pitch them. Wonderful. Google their name. Some other ways. There is a site called Muckrack, MUCKRACK.com. Muckrack is a database of journalists on Twitter, and I believe I shared this tip in my emailed newsletter that came out today. Muckrack.com are journalists who are on Twitter. And the great thing about it is you can just search for them on Muckrack. And if you find them on Muckrack, and they will put themselves, I think they either put themselves on Muckrack or Muckrack puts them there. Muckrack will tell you other social, they'll have links to other social media sites where you can find them if they're on Facebook and LinkedIn and places like that. It's really cool. And Muckrack has a paid upgrade that will let you email them directly on Muckrack, but I think there's enough free stuff on Muckrack that you shouldn't have to pay for the upgrade. I also think it's really easy to find most people's email addresses. I just go to Google. Jane Smith, lifestyle reporter, USA Today plus email. And in most cases, her email will come up right in Google. So you try it. So that's another one. Another wonderful resource, and I've shared this several times in my newsletter and at my blog, is a website called usnpl.com. USN, I think usnpl.com. It's a website that is a big directory of newspapers, daily and weekly, college newspapers, television stations, and I'm not quite sure if radio, I think radio stations are around there too. And you can search by state. It's fabulous. It's free. It's a wonderful place to start. And I just got back from Canada yesterday. I spoke to the CAPS chapter in Edmonton, the Canadian Association of Professional Speakers. And I found out that there's also a USNPL database for Canada. So you Canadians, if you can't find the link directly, just do a search for USNPL plus Canada and it will come up. And if you can't find it, email me and I'll send you the link. Okay. Also, the best place to research journalists is at their blog. If you can find their blog, you have hit gold. You've hit pay dirt. And you want to spend some time at their blog looking to see what they're blogging about and mention a blog post in your pitch. I think an even better thing to do is comment a couple times at their blog on something they have written. And don't just say, "Great article, Sheila," because that doesn't add to the conversation. You want to add to the conversation by maybe offering some tips and things like that. Okay, at their blog, add to the conversation, maybe share a resource, and don't overtly promote yourself. You don't want to promote yourself at a journalist's blog in the comments section. Okay, what's the difference between a book publicist and an agent? Good question. An agent is a person who you hire to get you a book publishing contract with a traditional publisher. A publicist is someone who you hire to help you get book publicity after the book is published, or right before the book is published and afterward. And if you're curious, I get a lot of questions about where to hire publicists, how to find great publicists. And what a lot of authors don't know is that a really good publicist is going to cost you about, you can plan to spend between $1,500 and $2,500 a month on a really good publicist. And the vast majority of authors can't afford that. So that's why I'm in business, because I teach authors how to promote their books, or I teach anybody how to self-promote on their own without an expensive publicist. Okay. What's the best way for me to get publicity in a town I'm going to be speaking in? I've tried this repeatedly and it's never worked. What are some tips for building buzz about where the event's going to be held so I get a good crowd? It's really hard to get into newspapers in towns where I'm going to be speaking. You bet, it's really hard. And it's really hard to get onto TV stations. And it almost never happens, because there are so many speakers coming in to towns. They're here today, they're gone tomorrow, and they want to be on that the TV news the day before their speaking engagement, so they pull a crowd, and it almost never happens. So here are some tips that I have on how to do it. The first thing I recommend is that you use meetup.com to host a meetup in the town where you're going to be speaking, and you want to advertise it well in advance. Meetup.com is a place where people go online to find like-minded people offline to meet with. There are meetup groups for neighborhood dog walkers. There are meetup groups for local book clubs. There are meetup groups for technology networking groups. A technology group might be meet once a month at Starbucks, and there may be six people who sit around and talk to each other, and they're always welcoming more people into the group. Meetup is the place to find this. So if your host, if somebody is bringing you in, ask your host if they have created a meetup yet. And if they have, then don't do it. But if they have not created a meetup, that's a great place to do it. Okay? A couple of other ways to do it. Find Facebook groups that are in a specific community. Share where you're going to be speaking on Facebook. See if the group that's bringing you in or groups that would be apt to come to see you speak have a Facebook page. And if so, you can post right on their page some tips that you might be sharing. I also think that what are some other ways that you could do it? Certainly community calendars. There are a lot of community calendars. If you go onto Craigslist, there's a section on Craigslist for community events, but be really careful. You can only post one, you can only do it on one place on Craigslist to do it. You don't want to take and just, you know, blast that baby all over Craigslist, because they can close your account down, so be really careful. Okay, here's a good question. And this is not just a question for CPAs. This is a question for any of you, okay? I'm thinking of joining an industry association for CPAs. Is there any way joining these groups can help me get better known and get publicity? Okay, so for any of you who are in a trade group or a professional association, I recommend that you call your industry group, ask for the PR, the name of the PR person, or the person who's responsible for answering media, taking media inquiries. Let that person know that you would welcome inquiries from the media, and that the person for your trade group can pass along your contact information if the journalist is doing stories on A, B, C, D, or E, or if they're looking for somebody with expertise in boomerang parents or whatever the topic happens to be. My friend Tom Kossler is a CPA, and he did this with his CPA's trade association and got several interviews as a result. And not a lot of people think to do this, but remember, when journalists and broadcasters get assigned a story that they have to do, a lot of times they don't know where to start looking for really good experts. So they will go to that industry's trade association and see if the trade association can pass some names of experts along to them. So get in touch with your trade association. Alan asks, are people having success with YouTube-like videos promoting a book? Some authors are, but here's the thing about YouTube videos. You have to be careful that the YouTube video is not a 2-minute commercial for your book. You can create a YouTube channel, which I highly recommend you do, and you can create a whole series of videos that tie into your book. Alan, is your book fiction or nonfiction? What's it about? It's a nonfiction book. What's it about? What's the topic? Just give me a couple of words. It's a history of the sport of lacrosse. Very interesting. That should be very easy to pull for, because it is such a narrow topic. And for those of you who have really narrow topics or products or services that go to a really narrow group of people, it is so easy to find your target market online. If you've got a book and you say, I want the whole world to read my book, you have a really hard job marketing that book. Your marketing job is impossible, because you can't market to anybody. So, Alan, this is what I would do if I were you. I would create a YouTube channel. And you want to create short little 2-minute videos that have to do with anything to do with lacrosse, okay? And you want to do, your book is about the history of the sport of lacrosse. You could do a short video on your top 5 favorite books about lacrosse. It doesn't have to be the history of lacrosse. It can just be about lacrosse. Then at the end, you know, by the way, I've got a book about lacrosse, and if you're looking for, and you can give them the link on Amazon where to buy it, but you don't want that whole big 2-minute video to be an overt for promotion about your book. You can talk about, I don't know anything about lacrosse. How about some recommendations on places to buy shoes if you're participating in lacrosse? Anything that people who are interested in lacrosse would love. How about the top 5 lacrosse tournaments? That might be a good one. How about lacrosse injuries? Anything like that. You can create short little videos. Let me give you a great tip on how to pull a ton of traffic for your videos. When you're on YouTube, YouTube gives you a video description. You're going to give a little description of your video. Most people write a description that's about this long. Don't do that. YouTube is owned by Google, and YouTube lets you write a 2,000 character description, which is the equivalent of about a 900 word article. That's this long, really long. Use all the real estate to write a description, and in that description, put keywords that you're trying to pull traffic for. Use all the real estate. Trust me, this works. Also, you're going to be able to also tag each video with a series of keywords, and you're going to want to use the maximum number of keywords possible that YouTube lets you use, and you never know exactly how many that is. What I do usually is I'll write about a 700-word article, and I can squeeze about maybe 19 keywords or keyword phrases in. And if you go to save it and it won't let you save, it means that it's too long. So I'll go try to edit my description down just a little until it accepts it. Then I know I'm getting in right under the wire. So that's what I would do. Okay. Kathleen recommends, how about the highest scoring lacrosse players? That's a great one. Anything that lacrosse people would be interested in. Thank you, Kathleen. See how easy it is to give people advice? It's hard to find advice to figure out how to do our own publicity, but it's so much easier for other people to do it. Alan says, should I reference videos in my blog from the videos on YouTube? Should I reference videos in my, oh, I see what you're doing. Should I reference videos in my blog? Alan, what you can do is YouTube gives you embed code, which means you can embed the YouTube videos right into your blog. Into most blogs, you can do this. Now, I know you can do it in WordPress blogs, and for those of you who are not blogging yet, I strongly recommend a WordPress blog. I take a lot of my videos from YouTube, and I just embed the code right into a blog post, and people can click on it right there and watch the YouTube video right at my blog. And the more people click on that, I get credit. YouTube gives me credit for the number of people at my blog who are watching videos. So you just reminded me that I need to do more of this because it's really powerful. Okay, let's see. Other questions. How do I get onto the local speaking circuit in my hometown, and how do I know what groups are out there that might want to hear me speak? What do you speak about? Okay, Cheryl says she speaks on parenting. Okay, the place that I would start, goodoldmeetup.com. I would go to see what parenting groups are on Meetup in your town. Find out what parenting groups are there, some other ideas. I would go to, how about speaking through the adult ed or your adult ed through the rec program or the adult program of your local municipality. You might be able to teach classes there. That would be a great way to find people who are perfect fit for your book. How about your library? Okay, you can speak at libraries. Even if you don't have a book, libraries are always bringing interesting people in to speak. I would also go on to LinkedIn, and I would do a LinkedIn advanced search, or just search LinkedIn groups for parenting groups in your town where you live. That's what I would do. And I'm going to throw out another idea, and I haven't talked about this, but those of you who get my newsletter have seen me write about this a lot. I think the most powerful tool that all of you can use, I don't care what you do for a living, I don't care what your niche is, I don't care what your topic is, I don't care what your area of expertise is, the most powerful marketing tool you can use is email. To have an email list of people who have given you permission to send them emails. Like I send emails to you twice a week. Those of you who get my newsletter, you hear from me twice a week. You hear from me every Tuesday afternoon and every Saturday morning. You don't pay for that newsletter, but you're on my list, and I've trained some of you to expect to hear from me every Tuesday afternoon and every Saturday morning. And I think you'll agree that my newsletter is really high, high free content with an occasional promotion. And I don't mean emailing your whole address book from Outlook or emailing directly from Gmail. I'm talking about using a professional email management system like either I like AWeber or MailChimp, and using the tools that they have built into their system to, because you need to abide by the Canned Spam Act of 2003. And one of the things the Canned Spam Act says you need to do in your emails is you need to give people a link where they can unsubscribe if they don't want to hear from you anymore. Okay? So if you don't know anything about email marketing, I'm going to be offering a course in email marketing for authors. It'll be sometime in the next couple months, and then I am most likely going to be offering the same course specifically for small business owners who don't have books. Okay, because the course is going to be just a little bit different. So keep your eyes on my newsletter, and you can find out more about that. Okay, question. Do you ever publish posts from your blog directly onto your LinkedIn profile? Okay. Are you guys on LinkedIn? I want to see how many of you are on LinkedIn who are watching this right now. Okay, most of you, I'm saying yes, yes, yes. If you are on LinkedIn, you should be publishing articles on LinkedIn. It's very powerful. This is something that I started too late. It's called LinkedIn Pulse, and it is the publishing platform on LinkedIn that lets you write articles and include photos. And the reason it's so powerful is they show up right underneath your profile, right underneath your profile. And they're anchored there. And so people who are searching for you and they come to your profile, they'll see the photos right there, right underneath your profile. And I can tell you, the articles that I publish to my LinkedIn profile get a lot more views than my blog posts do. A lot more views. And do I take my blog posts and just reproduce them on LinkedIn? No, I don't do that. Some people do. And if that's what you want to do, that's fine. I don't do it because Google does not like duplicate content. And I also don't want the people following me who are following me on my blog and on LinkedIn to see the same article twice. What I will do is I'll take I may take a blog post or an old article and rewrite it for LinkedIn. And it's really powerful. So if you are not publishing to your LinkedIn profile, please start. It's really going to promote your expertise. Okay, we've only got a couple of minutes left. Any other questions that I have not answered that you maybe have submitted before that I haven't answered yet, because I downloaded your questions about a half an hour before we started. So if you asked me a question on the registration form, I haven't seen it yet. Okay, I don't see any other questions. I'm going to give you a minute to ask more questions. And let me give you a couple of ways that you can get more advice from me if you want me to go into deeper depth on anything that I talked about here or anything you're struggling with. You can use me a couple of different ways. I have something called Rent My Brain, and this is a way to tap into my brain and ask me anything that you're struggling with. And, oh, I do have a question. Rosemary asked, this is a really good one, how to reach out to corporate sponsors. If I remember correctly, you are looking for corporate sponsors. Was that to help you? Are you the one that wrote the question about the boomerang parents? I can't remember. What is your topic, Rosemary? She wants corporate sponsors, boomerang kids. There you go. Okay, here's what I would do. I would use, if you want corporate sponsors, the site where you need to be is LinkedIn. And I would go on to LinkedIn and I would learn how to use the advanced search function on LinkedIn to search for companies that are already corporate sponsors for any topics. And then once you've done that, you can refine your search even further and find companies that have the words corporate sponsor, okay, in their or people who work at companies that have the word corporate sponsors in their summaries. And then drill down even further, and it could be for parenting or whatever. Learn how to use the LinkedIn advanced search. That's what I would do. And I would also see if there are corporate sponsor groups on LinkedIn. I'll bet there are groups of people on LinkedIn who need more help finding corporate sponsors. LinkedIn groups are great ways to do it. Okay, I think that's it for the questions. So let me go back to you and explain some ways to work with me. You can rent my brain. I do a lot of this. And the way it works is you go to my website and you'll see a little Rent My Brain box. And it's also in my newsletter, in all the issues of my newsletter. And you click on it and it takes you over to a page at my website where you can sign up for a one-hour session to Rent My Brain, and it's $300 an hour. And I want to explain to you that I'm doing a lot of research before you and I get on the phone. So you're going to get a solid 60 minutes with me for $300. And I may spend an hour researching your website, your social media profiles. I'm going to want to know when you sign up. You're going to get a return email that's going to have you go over to my time trade calendar and set up a time with me where we can meet for an hour. And it's also going to ask you to send me an email and be very, very specific about the kinds of things that you want me to help you with. I want to know before we get on that phone exactly what you want help with. So during our 60 minutes, I can be throwing out ideas like this, and I'm not sitting here doing it all off the top of my head. And I'm going to share some free tools with you. We'll help you put together a strategy. We'll do some tactical stuff, and you're going to be able to ask me additional questions during our call together. I will also record our session. We're going to be using GoToWebinar, and you're not going to be able to see me like you can now. Instead, you're going to be able to see my screen, and I'm going to take you around to different websites. I'll take you around to Meetup. If I'm going to want to show you something on LinkedIn, I'll take you to LinkedIn. I may take you back over to your own website and show you some ideas I have for ways that you need to improve your site. Even if you don't want me to critique your site, I'm going to do a short critique anyway, because a lot of people don't know what they don't know. And they don't know what journalists are looking for when journalists come to your website. And I may only spend 5 or 10 minutes on your site because you need to know what you're doing wrong at your website. And I can tell you right now, if you don't have an opt-in box where you are gathering emails from people who will let you promote to them, if you're not doing that right now, I don't care what industry you're in, you're leaving money on the table. So you can rent my brain for an hour. The other thing that you can do is you can sign up for my mentor program to have long-term, long-range access to me. The six-month program is $3,500, and you can pay in 4 installments over 6 months. You don't have to have the entire amount up front. If you want 12-month access to me, it's $5,000, and it's like getting a couple of months free. Okay, so you get the year long is definitely the better value. If you're not sure if you're a good, if we're a good fit yet, I would recommend that you just buy an hour of my time and see that way if you think we're a good match. So what do you get in the mentor program? You get a couple of things. You get 2-hour-long one-on-one calls with me every month, and we're going to discuss whatever it is that you need help with. And on our first call, I'm going to get to know you better, and we're going to put together a strategy as we go forward in the mentor program. Some of you only want to promote books. Other people only want to promote their speaking engagements. Other people only want to become the go-to expert in their local town on a specific topic because they do business locally. And those one-on-one calls, nobody else is going to be on the line. You're not going to have to hear me counsel somebody else that you're spending money to hear me counsel somebody else. You're not going to have to do that. You're also going to have unlimited email access to me whenever you have a question about something. You just zip me an email, and I usually answer within 24 hours unless I'm out of town. You are also going to get half off all of my products that I've already created, 1/2 off, and you're also going to get any webinars that I am going to be hosting that you see me promoting in my newsletter. Let's say I've got a webinar coming up in a couple of days, and I'm actually going to do one next week on how to find your target market if you're an author, because that's a question I get over and over and over again. You will be able to attend all of my public paid sessions for free if you're in the mentor program. And so those, and then there's the last one that's really valuable. I will be your personal writing coach. I will review everything you write. Now, I'm not going to review your books because I'm not a book editor and that's not my area of expertise, but I will review your book marketing materials, your press releases. I will review your blog posts. I'll even review your pitches to the media. You write an email pitch, run it by me first, and I'll show you how to make it even better. Anything that you write, I will review and give you feedback on and show you how to make it better. I'm not going to rewrite it for you, and I am not going to proofread your work. You're going to have to hire a proofreader to do that. If you're interested in the mentor program, you can go to my website at publicityhound.com, and there's a mentoring button right at the top. You can click on that and learn more about the program. If you're still not sure if you're a good match, give me a call. I'd like to talk to you first before you hook up with me, before you pay your money, because I need to find out if I can meet your expectations. If your expectation is because you think I'm going to get you on the front page of the New York Times, we're not a good match because I can't do that. I can show you how to find, I can find you the best ways to go about doing it, but I'm probably going to make a couple other suggestions too to you, and I'm going to question on why you think you need to be on the front page of the New York Times. That's really, really hard to do, and there are much easier ways to get attention in much narrower niches for your topic. So those are a couple ways to keep in touch with me. Any last questions before we close? Did you guys find this helpful? Was it fun? Should I keep doing these Ask Me Anything sessions? Let me know in the Q&A box. Yes, love the session. Yes, thank you for thanks, Rosemary. Thanks, Cheryl. Joel loved it. Cynthia loved it. Caroline said, wish you could leave time for more questions. Okay, I'll do it again. If you guys thought this was of high value, I will definitely do it again. Okay, Kimberly, thank you. You liked it. Okay, I'm signing off. That's it for now. It is a beautiful fall day here in Wisconsin, and I'm going to go out and work in my garden, and I also have to paint part of my porch this afternoon, which is not fun, but it's just a small part of my porch. So I'm going to go do it, go out, and have a great weekend. And if you're not subscribed, I'm assuming most of you are subscribed to my newsletter, check in with me again on Tuesday. This is Joan Stewart, the Publicity Hound, signing out. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.